Good morning. Welcome to Burrington East. We're especially pleased this morning to have with us the Scouts and Beavers. Nice to see you guys again. And other visitors as well. Very pleased to see you. Please sign our visitor's book at the front entrance before you leave. All the announcements are contained in the bulletin, but there are two I'd bring to your attention. One is that the tax receipts for last year are in the mail slots at the back. And I've been asked to say, please check that it's not just in the right box, but your name is on the letter as well. Apparently I was going to get fired if I didn't. So the second thing I bring to your attention is that the Ash Wednesday is this coming Wednesday, and there is a further announcement in the calendar, in the bulletin to that effect.
Take a moment to prepare our hearts for worship this morning.
We light the Christ candle this morning as a reminder that we Christ is here symbolically during our worship time. This is the same candle that we use during Christmas in the centerpiece of our Advent wreath. And as we begin our journey into Lent, we are reminded that Christ is with us in this service and over the next 40 days of Lent. Let's join together now for our responsive psalm.
To all who are imprisoned, to all who are living in darkness, to all who hunger and thirst, to all who are far away, the first hymn is number 65, All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Please be seated. In This is the time in our service when we come before God with prayers of thanks and confession and the Lord's Prayer. And to be clear, just because I know we've got a lot of guests in today as well, this is the time when we're thinking about those moments when we didn't necessarily do everything we could to be the person God calls us to be, which is kind and gentle, and the list goes on. Those moments when maybe we weren't so kind, so gentle. Those moments when maybe we didn't say something kind to someone else. Or maybe we should have said something kind and we didn't bother. This is those moments to say to God, we're sorry and we want to be different, we want to be changed, and you can change us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God of majesty and might, you've blessed us with so much of your glory. We thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you that we can hear your voice in all that we look around and see, all of your creation, the sun, the wonderful weather that we have at times, the seasons themselves. These are all things that we can be thankful for. We thank you for our friends and our family. Thank you for all the people that you put in our lives to enrich us and help us to experience love. And Lord, we also come before you this morning because you are expecting things from us, which is difficult and easy at the same time. Difficult because often, you know, we want to do what we want to do. Easy because, well, it is fairly simple to just say a word of kindness to someone. It is simple to maybe not say something when we're angry. It's a choice that we make. And for those choices that have pulled us away from that kind of life you're expecting of us, Lord, we ask that you will forgive us. Forgive us and heal us and continue to lead us on. Help us to repent, which is to change our ways. And when we're not doing that, Lord, point them out to us so that we can be the people you want us to be in relationship with you, relationship with one another, and all because Jesus makes the difference. And now, Lord, we come before you and say the prayer in unison that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The good news of our faith is this. If we call upon God, we will be answered and we will be forgiven. That promise gives us true peace and true joy. And we have that joy and peace all through Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, choir. One of my favorite songs. I know Keith Green has done that in the past. Thank you for sharing that today. We'll join now in our children's hymn, Father, I Adore You, number 292, and during the second verse, we'll have the children come forward for a time together. 292, Father, I Adore You. Please be seated. I've asked you to sit here because I want everybody to be able to see what I'm going to talk about. Today is a big word on church calendar. It's Transfiguration Sunday, and we're going to talk about that as we move into our service a little more. But Transfiguration, it's a big word for another big word, and that other big word I want to use is called metamorphosis. Anybody know, ever heard that word before, metamorphosis? I know, maybe not. Okay, that's fine. It means to change one thing into another. And I know that's a very big word, and I don't know what you're doing in school, but it's some great examples I can give you about metamorphosis, things changing. Here's the first one I have, an example. So they've got that sort of that peace sign up there, and it's metamorphosized, and it's changing to a bunny. See? So this is like a bunny, right? We can see the bunny when we do that, and when we do the hoppy songs and stuff we've done, but we can see how that changes into a bunny. Well, your fingers wouldn't really change to a bunny, but I've got some examples of things that do change. Easy ones for you guys. What's this one? What is this, first of all? Easy. What is it? A caterpillar. What do caterpillars change into? Yep. Butterfly, and I have a picture of a butterfly here, and that's exactly what they do. And to give you what I mean by the complete changeover is that a butterfly is nothing like a caterpillar, is it? I mean, a caterpillar just crawls around on the ground and eats leaves and does stuff like that, and then a butterfly flies around and eats nectar. A completely different piece of creation altogether. Changes itself completely. Here's another example. This cartoon guy, what's this guy? Any ideas? Yep. A tadpole. I knew you were thinking of that. You knew you had it. A tadpole. And a tadpole swims in the water all the time, has gills to help it breathe, and it eats algae and stuff. But it changes into what? Yep. A frog. And there's a frog right there. And the frog has got four legs, and it hops around. It lives in the water just part of the time. It eats bugs and other things. It might even eat tadpoles, I suppose, if it had the chance. It changes completely. So today we're going to be talking about transfiguration or a change, and that happened in Jesus. Jesus changed when he had a time together with God, and he changed from just who he was into something very, very different. In fact, he almost glowed, and when we talk about Moses in the Old Testament, he did the same thing when he came before God. His face glowed. He glowed so much he actually put a veil over his face so it wouldn't shine so much. That's what transfiguration and metamorphosis mean, to change from one thing into another. Jesus changed from one thing into another at this point. Let's have a prayer, okay, boys and girls? Lord, thank you for today, and we pray that these are big words for the kids, and pray that they can understand this idea of change. Help us to remember the tadpole into the frog and the caterpillar into the butterfly so that we can understand that. Create a change in us, too, in all these boys and girls, that they can grow in their faith and understand what it is to be walking with you faithfully, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing the last verse of our song, Remain Seated, as our boys and girls go off to Sunday school. This is the time in which we read from God's Word to teach us and help us to grow and do that little bit of change that we need. But before we begin that, I'd like us just to bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, you are our light that shines and shows us the ways and how we need to be living for you. Make us attentive to your word this morning, just like a lamp can shine in a dark place. Help us to see the truth you have for us and help us to truly understand, all of us, Lord, in our own ways, the words you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our responsive psalm found in the Psalters in your pews is actually a unison because it's short. It's Psalm 100, and it's the beginning, if you like, in so many ways, of that fifth segment of the Psalms. Psalm 100 to 150 almost exclusively deal with singing praise, making joyful noise. I liked our hymn talking about making noise with mirth at one point. And let's join together now as we come before God, making that joyful noise, reading unison Psalm 100. Stephen.
So in Psalm 100, there are two versions on the page. So it's the first version we read from. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. The Lord made us. We belong to God. We are God's people, the sheep of God's pasture. Enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to the Lord. Bless God's name. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations.
Thank you, Stephen. Now, as has been our tradition when we have Thinking Sunday, and we're doing a lot of thinking today, we have guest readers for our scriptures and our Old Testament reading, which is Exodus 34. Cale Stephen, you're going to come up and read for us, and I'll hold the mic for you as you do. Thank you very much for helping us today. And read nice and slow and loud. Take your time.
Moses didn't realize that he came back down the mountain with the tablets that his face glowed from being in the presence of God. Because of this radiance upon his face, Aaron and the people of Israel were afraid to come near him.
Thank you very much. Good job, Cale. And our New Testament reading, that's good. Thank you. Our New Testament reading is taken from 2 Peter, and that's Hannah Jones is going to read that for us. There you go, Hannah. Good job.
I was there on the holy mountain when he shone out with honor given him by God, his Father. I heard that glorious, majestic voice calling down from heaven, saying, "This is my much-loved Son. I am well pleased with him."
Thank you very much, Hannah. Good job. You know, these boys and girls do a great job because they don't get to see this in advance at all. They get to see it just before we come in on Sunday morning. So, wonderful job. Thank you very much. Let's hear it for them one more time. Our gospel reading today is taken from Matthew 17. And just in case you are following along, the readings that we've done this morning, other than the psalm, have all been taken from the Living Bible translation or transliteration and interpretation. This is the story of Jesus going up and being changed while he was in prayer, and the response that the disciples had when they saw him that take place. Matthew 17, beginning at verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John to the top of a high and lonely hill. And as they watched, his appearance changed so that his face shone like the sun, and his clothing became dazzling white. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and were talking with him. And Peter blurted out, "Sir, it's wonderful that we can be here. If you want me to, I'll make three shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." But even as he said it, a bright cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, and I am wonderfully pleased with him. Obey him." At this, the disciples fell down, face downward to the ground, terribly frightened. And Jesus came over and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked, only Jesus was with them. And as they were going down the mountain, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what they had seen until after he had risen from the dead. This is the word of God. We'll join together now in our next hymn, "To God Be the Glory," number 350. Please be seated. Well, this week is will be the beginning of Lent. And it's a busy week in that respect, and it's a busy next 6 weeks coming up. Historically speaking, this particular period of time has probably been of greater importance in so many ways in the Christian calendar than even Christmas. And as I mentioned, during the Christmas time, during Advent, the Presbyterian Church in Scotland anyway, and many of the other Protestant denominations in Europe, banned Christmas at one time because there was just too much emphasis being given to that and less on Lent and Easter. Lent and Easter is probably the central focus of the Christian faith. And the reason for that, of course, is because this is the whole sort of central tenet of what we understand as Christians, that Jesus died and rose from the dead. And it's important for us as we move into this time period to be really seriously considering that. And as a result, there are many things that take place during this particular period, many of which have become almost outside the walls of the church as far as that goes. Even the word Lent has become a part of, and I'll explain in a moment how, a part of the activities that may take place outside, because this Tuesday is Fat Tuesday, as they call it, and it's a time when we normally have pancakes and things like that for dinner and whatnot, but it's the sort of the last day before Lent begins, when traditionally in the church itself people were giving up things, particularly we were doing a period of fasting. And the idea that Fat Tuesday, or Mardi Gras as we come to know it, is the beginning of that particular time, and it's sort of the last blowout time, if you like, or way it's become. And big parties are often held, certainly in the southern states. You also may understand or have heard the word carnival. And during this time of Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras, there's a carnival. Now, I'm pointing this out particularly today because it's not carnival, it is carnival that takes place. And we've kind of transposed those words because carnival, if those of you who understand sort of Latin-based languages a little bit maybe, and Latin itself, carne is meat. So carnival is farewell meat. So the big party that we have or festival that we celebrate of carnival at Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras is to say that we're giving up meat for Lent and we're going to be fasting now. And we've, again, lost some of that sort of meaning and tradition. Lent itself comes from a word that means basically spring season, and it means that there's 40 days coming up before Easter takes place. And lots of things take place that we would normally in the past say, for Lent I'm going to give up chocolate, or I'm going to give up whatever it may be as a symbol of that sort of fasting or sacrifice. Probably in our modern time, if we were going to be considering that in this congregation and in our Protestant beliefs in that sense, one of the most valuable commodities that we have today is time. And if we were going to give up something symbolize that fasting period during Lent would be something that occupies our time. So whatever that may be, it may even be a meal, but it may be some other thing, a TV or whatever it may be. And then giving that time, it can now be spent thinking about God, thinking of and praying, maybe spending some time reading the Bible, or maybe even doing some activities where you're helping other people, which you normally wouldn't necessarily have the time to do. So as you're considering things during Lent, symbolically to give up and to change in that 40-day period, maybe that's some things to consider, maybe helping some other people that maybe you normally wouldn't get a chance to do. One of the other traditions that we started here, and it's a long-standing tradition within Christian faith, but we do here, is that we symbolically get rid of the word alleluia or hallelujah. And alleluia is hallelujah means praise God in Hebrew and in Greek. The idea being that not that we're not praising God, it's just during this time of Lent, we're going to be considering putting that away so that we can save that for the Easter Sunday morning when we can say, hallelujah, Jesus has risen. And during this time, we're considering all that he has done for us. So in light of that, I'm going to symbolically set this box up here on the table. And I have hallelujah written out. So this is our symbolic hallelujah, and I've written it in Hebrew, which is praise Yahweh. Alleluia, I've written it in biblical Greek, which is praise the Lord. And the idea being, and as I was reading more about this, some places even build a little coffin to put it in, so to speak. But we've got a little box. We're going to put it in the box, and we're going to hide it there, and we'll reveal that again when we get down to our Easter time, so that we can surprise ourselves with the revealing hallelujah in 40 days. In that introduction, I just want us now to get ready and let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, I pray that this time, as we're thinking about transfiguration, as about Mardi Gras and Carnival and Lent, Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Easter Friday, there's lots to be considering, and it will become a busy time for us in our congregation. And Lord, we pray that we can truly engage in this time period of Lent, engage in this time period where we're considering the changes that need to take place in our lives, that transfiguration for us in so many ways. And Lord, as we put this alleluia away today, help us again to symbolically kind of engage with it and understand that we're giving something up, putting something away that we can reveal again in the glory of Easter when Christ is risen. Help us this morning, Lord, to put aside the distractions we may have brought with us today, the worries about later on today or even tomorrow, the things that do distract us, and help us to fully listen and engage in your Spirit. Teach us, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, there was a man that went to his doctor and expressed the following concern to his doctor. You know, Doc, I'm really worried. Every time I drink my coffee, I feel a stabbing pain in my eye. Do you think it's really serious? The doctor looked at him and thought for a moment and said, well, maybe if you took the spoon out of your mug, it would probably help. We may not have had a spoon blinding us, causing us pain, but there are times in our lives when we can only see things from one perspective and we miss the obvious, maybe, so to speak, that's in front of us, and that's really the point of that. There's an obvious solution, but sometimes we're so caught up in the moment, we forget and can't see it. We're locked into a certain way of thinking, and we can't see anything else. We all form opinions many times in this very way. And sometimes our opinions, we discover when we change our perspective, we can see that maybe our opinion might have been needed some change and adjustment itself. Sometimes we need to get outside of ourselves to be able to see things from a new vantage point. Probably one of the things I spend a great deal of time and have done over the years I've been here talking about modern media, and particularly television and film, and trying to understand how the culture that we live in is reflected through these particular two medias, or mediums. It's difficult for us to understand our culture because we're in the middle of it. That's the point. We've got a spoon sticking out of our mug, and we can't see it sometimes, even though it's obvious to maybe people outside. Sometimes we need to put that down and step back so we can see those things that surround us. And that's probably why I spend that much time thinking about that. And it has to do with not just our culture on a sort of the worldly or secular sense, but even our culture as Christians and church people. There are certain things that we sometimes miss because it's always been that way and we're used to it and we're comfortable with it. Nothing wrong with that. But I think understanding who we are and where we're coming from can change us and make us even better in so many ways. The phrase mountaintop experience is something maybe many of us have heard in the past. So-and-so had a mountaintop experience when they lived through a certain situation or experience in their lives. And often that expression is used when someone goes through a really tough life experience. They have a life-changing moment, a mountaintop experience. And that phrase comes directly from what's happened with Moses on the Mount Sinai when he spoke with God and got the tablets for the Ten Commandments, and also when Jesus had his transfiguration take place, his change, his the whole perspective changed on that mountain or that hill that he was on. Both Moses and Jesus were changed forever. Fundamentally, though, something else changed. It wasn't just them that changed in that mountaintop experience. It was the people around them. When Moses came down off that mountaintop, the people that were down waiting for him, the children of Israel, saw a difference in Moses. But it wasn't just what they saw, it was how things, because Moses brought with him the Ten Commandments. Their life had changed forever because of that mountaintop experience. The disciples saw Jesus in a very different light, because not only did they see a different light around him and Moses and Elijah in his presence, they got a little bit more of an insight of what was coming for Jesus. They too were changed. Up to that point, if we look at all of the historical writings from theologians over the years, one of the things that they've approached with this is that Jesus is, up to that point, the disciples were not really fully aware of what Jesus was going to do, other than he was going to maybe change their social situation, in that he was going to be the Messiah and boot the Romans out and put Jerusalem back where it should be and the Israelites back where they should be in power. But at that particular mountaintop experience that night, Jesus told them what was coming, that he was going to die and rise again. And he instructed them not to tell anybody until that happened. They had changed just as much. I think one of the things about Lent for us and the Transfiguration in particular today, Lent that we're moving into, is that we need to have a change of perspective. And one of the things that we can do during that time where we spend time with God, which is what Lent is challenging us to do, is to change our perspective, to change the way we see ourselves as Christian believers, as Jesus followers. It's easy to fall into the routine of things. It goes without saying about how we get into the routine of things. How many people sit in the same place every Sunday morning? We like routine. Nothing wrong with routine. But sometimes, just think about sitting somewhere else on a Sunday morning. See what happens with the people around you, because I know there have been times when one or two of you have done that, where you've sat in a different place. And I've heard stories about that. One of the first things that happens is other people, were you here on Sunday? I didn't see you. Well, I wasn't sitting in my usual spot. It's interesting, if you want to look at it, how where we sit is how we see church on Sunday morning. When you're sitting right here or over here, up front or down the back, you're seeing the pulpit, you're seeing the choir, you're seeing Renata playing keyboard from a particular angle. And that's your experience. And when you move somewhere else in the building that we're worshiping in, that changes that. That makes us a little bit uncomfortable. And that's okay to be a little bit uncomfortable. Because now we're seeing it in a new light. We're seeing it in brand new eyes, if you like. And I've referred to this in the past as well. Sometimes it's a challenge for us to try to see things for the first time. See things for the first time. I've spent some time the last little while. There's something I've wanted to do, and I don't think my hands are going to let me, but it's a different particular guitar style I want to particularly learn, and it's the Merle Travis picking. And I've watched some players, and I'm looking at Gord because he's a guitar player and he knows what I'm talking about. This Merle Travis way of playing, and it's very complicated, not with the left hand on the fretboard, but with this hand on the strings over here, and your fingers all have to work independently from your thumb, and it's just dazzling me in thoughts. And I watch little kids to really older folks playing this style very, very well, and I'm not very encouraged, I gotta say, Gord. But it's caused me to see playing guitar with fresh eyes again. Caused me to see that with something new. When's the last time that we read through the stories of Jesus in the Gospels with fresh eyes? As if we were reading them for the first time. That's why sometimes changing up the translation helps. Because the words are a little bit different than you're used to hearing. You've been transformed. You've been metamorphosized in that sense and changed. You know, one of the things that I caused me to be thinking about some of this was, you know, we have a new granddaughter, and we've been talking with the kids, and it's got me thinking about my kids when they were younger. I used to take my kids to work with me quite a lot. They remember those adventures. They remember one in particular, Donna. I took my kids to the office because for a while I was working. I had to work every month through a whole weekend to do a system backup on our computer systems, and I was there babysitting tape changes and all that sort of stuff. So I thought, well, I'll take the kids with me because I'm there all day anyway, and there's nobody in the office. Well, they remember being at work with me as this great, wonderful playtime. They would put the wheelie chairs and run up and down the hallways with them, and we made craft dinner for lunch, which I ruined at one point, and they remember that very, very well in particular. And work was fun. And when I would tell them stories of the adventures at work, work was always, you know, had all the funny stories to tell them about things that we'd happened and we'd done. And the kids just thought about it, and it was great. Maybe the disservice I'm thinking about that I did there was I forgot to tell them about the crummy days, the days when I didn't want to be at work, the days when, oh, I got to do that again, you know, like, or this is going to take forever, or I'm not getting along with this person today, or they're not getting along with me. We missed all of those. So I can see in some respects in my own kids, when they're talking about their own particular experiences at work, they seem to be kind of let down a little bit, because work is work. That's why they call it work. It's hard at times. We need to change our perspective sometimes. I think that what happens sometimes is we're like our kids, my kids in that example. We're used to running up and down the halls and having fun, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful time. And then suddenly the reality sits in for you, and it can be a bit of a disappointment. You know, when we tell stories about raising our kids, often we tell the stories that were great and funny, you know, and not those lonely nights when the baby won't shut up. You know, those are tough times too. We've all been there. And we need to share that. And we need to be sharing the moments in our journey and in our faith the same way. I think one of the disservices that we've done historically within the church is to have people like myself standing up here saying, you know, to be a Christian, that's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. Here's all the wonderful experiences. So let's bring in a guest speaker who's a missionary and went out and did work and all this wonderful stuff that went on. And we think that the Christian journey is something that can be filled always with wonderful times. And that's not a disservice in some ways, not an untruth, so to speak. But we have to tell the other side of that coin, too. There are times when we have to struggle through bad news about our health or bad news about a relative or bad news about something that's going on in our job. And we have to go to God and deal with these things. And they don't just get resolved in 20 minutes. There's my reference to television media. They get resolved in a longer period of time. And when we do read Scripture, as I'm telling you to do, and we read it in the true context that's going on, we begin to see that things take a long time very often. The biblical stories we have in the Old Testament, Moses, for instance, we talk about Moses and the children of Israel and that whole experience that they went through. Yeah, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. 40 years they wandered in the desert. Can you imagine what it would be like for someone to stand up here and say, I was a Christian and I've been a Christian for 40 years and it sucks, but now it's okay. For 40 years, things weren't working out so well, but now it's finally starting to get there. We don't want to hear that story. We want to hear that I became a Christian person and my life changed and everything was wonderful from day one. All my problems went away and it was just great. But the transfiguration that has to take place in the way we approach things is that God is with us through thick and thin, through good and bad. That's why it's really important, I think, when we read in Psalm 100 today, and I'm going back to that so I can get it directly. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness endures forever to all generations. Endures forever. A tough thing to consider. When we're in the midst of bad news, or we're in the midst of a dry spell in our spiritual life, or we're having difficulties with other people in our lives, God's love endures forever. It's everlasting. Transfiguration Sunday that we're thinking about today is a change that took place in Moses' life, but more importantly in Jesus' life. As we move into Lent, what can we do to change something in our lives to help us to do the same thing, to change, to transform? What is God tapping any of us on the shoulder about that needs to be changed, what we need to see differently? We need to change that perspective. We need to go through a kind of a metamorphosis in our lives. We need to be asking that question over the next 40 days, over the next 6 weeks, as we move into Easter. This is all symbolically speaking. It's all part of a tradition that we follow, but it's an important tradition and it's an important thing that we do. We need to be changed and we need to ask God to help us change. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, all of us are dealing with something in our lives that requires a little bit of change and in some cases a great deal of change. And what makes the difference is so many times about how we approach things is how we perceive them and how our attitude about them. Pardon me. Lord, change us. Change us that we can see things as you want us to be seeing them and to be the people that you want us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God has revealed so much to us in his love that we have become his children. We want to be grateful and we want to be thankful, and we do that now by giving those gifts that we have been given and honoring them that God can work out the kingdom of God in our community. This is the time for our tithes and our offerings before God. we have that you bestow upon us every day. Bless this offering, Lord, that it may be used to your glory to bring about your kingdom in this community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Flowers in the sanctuary today have been lovingly placed by David Wood in memory of his wife, Eleanor. And I'm glad you brought a picture in, David. That's very nice of you to do that. It's good that we do this from week to week. I don't think I've done this from the pulpit before, but I need to this morning. One of the prayer requests I have is for myself. About just over a week ago, and all this cold that I've had for the last month, I think I've managed to break a rib in the coughing that I've done. And I've already been in for an x-ray, but I'm going in to see my doctor here in town Tuesday morning to get that looked at. We're hoping it's not an indication of other things, but it's where I had all that surgery and stuff, so I've got a weak spot there. So I apologize for all the moaning and wincing I've done today, but one of the things that's going to result is that Donna and I need to go home right after the service today so I can get back in bed where I've been all week. And I apologize for not having been out seeing everybody this week because that's where I've been. Also, I know there's a number of people that want, I've indicated they like to have communion at home. We have communion service coming up very shortly. If there's anybody that you know that is at home and can't get out for communion, I'll be more than happy to visit with you at your home with your elder, and we can have communion. We've done that for people in the past. It's gone very, very well, and I know that those of you who are, or you know people that are stuck at home, this is a meaningful time to help them connect with the congregation and certainly connect with their Lord. So let me or Renata in the office or your elder know that you'd like that to happen. We can take care of that in the next couple of weeks for you. Lots of prayer things to consider. There's lots of folks in our congregation right now who are struggling with various illnesses and ailments and struggles in their lives. And we want to remember those people. And as we do, we'll give you that opportunity to say those names out loud. Let's bow our heads now in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you teach us through this, the transfiguration of Jesus, and give us an idea of what it is to change. And through that idea of what Moses went through as well, then our encounters with you need to change us. And in changing us, Lord, that's a lot of work. And if only you can do that. Because it changes the way we think and the way we understand and the way we see each other. Lord, we pray that you will be with the many things that are going on in our own city right now. There's lots of considerations being made about growth and housing. And Lord, one of the things I know that's not always on the conversation are those who are folks that can't afford to live in $1 million or $2 million home. People that are struggling to just move from paycheck to paycheck. And there's many, many people in our community that way, in the city. We pray, Lord, that the leaders within our local government can always be remembering that and consider these folks when they're making the decisions that they make, particularly around the issue of housing, that they can provide housing for people who cannot afford to own a very expensive home, that need to rent and need subsidized rental. And Lord, that's just one of many issues that are going on. There are lots. There's lots of blockades taking place that are having a great effect, and we need that resolved as soon as possible. Lord, we also come before you as we do from week to week, and we think about people in our lives. Everybody in this room knows somebody that's not feeling well, that's got an illness they're trying to struggle with, or maybe there's just some unsettlement within their spiritual life and walk with you. You know what's going on. And thank you for the faithfulness that goes on from week to week in naming these names, Lord. Some of them said out loud and many said quietly in our hearts. Lord, we know that you honor this prayer and you are acting in this prayer. And so, Lord, we take a moment now and we name these names before you. Thank you, Lord, for these names. Lord, I also pray for the boys and girls that are with us today and the parents and leaders that are here that work with them. Pray for our Sunday school kids and our leaders that work with them. Help them, Lord, and bless them in all the things that they're going through and experiencing in their lives. Help them to understand the joy of what it is to be a child, what it is to be young. Bless the leaders that work with them, teaching them what it is to be, a vital person within their community and how to be in good relationship with one another. It's a struggle, Lord. It's getting more difficult as we move through time. There's so much pulling on our young people today in other directions. Bless them all, Lord. And we thank you for this time, Lord, and this prayer. We offer all of this in and through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Join together now in our final hymn today, Come Let Us Sing, number 706. Be transformed this week. Be transfigured. Be through a metamorphosis that you need to go through. And as we enter Lent, consider all these changes that we need. Take the time to be with God, to be changed. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until we all come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.